Hello and welcome to the Healthy Balanced Birth and Beyond podcast. My name is Olivia Friel and I am a birth and postpartum doula located just outside of Boston. On this podcast, we will talk about everything related to the journey to conceive, pregnancy, birth, labor, postpartum, parenthood, and beyond. This is a safe space where birth professionals, birthing people, expectant parents, and partners can come on and share their knowledge or personal experiences with our listeners. The goal of this podcast is to share stories, information, and resources to educate and empower people in their own personal journey.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Super excited to have you guys all here. So this week, I have one of my mama friends, Courtney, on the podcast. And I met Courtney through my best friend, Megan, in college. And we are going to be chatting about a lot of things that I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily talk about. So part of this podcast is raising awareness about certain things that may be difficult to talk about in terms of whether it's trying to conceive, pregnancy, postpartum, labor, any of those things. So Courtney, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Of course. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I'm super excited, guys. So my name is Courtney, like Olivia said. We have the mutual friend of Megan, who I absolutely love. And my husband and I, a little bit of backstory on us. So we live in the Newark area, Saratoga, to be specific. My husband and I met, back in 2008, we were 17, 18 at the time. So we'll be celebrating 12 years this May, which is absolutely crazy. Oh. I know, it's gone by so fast. We have a 7-year-old black lab mix, and we have a daughter, Quinn, who was born in December of 2018. So she just turned 1 a few months ago, and we have a little boy on the way. He is due in the next month and a half. So been a crazy journey, yeah, but it's been a good one. So I'm excited to talk to you guys about kind of our journey to motherhood and kind of the messiness of it and kind of how we got where we are today.
That sounds awesome, and I know that I'm excited to hear all about it, so I know that other people will be too. But I still love your love story with Jordan. It's one of my favorite things. It's so cute.
Aww, I love you.
And Quinn Girl. And Quinn Girl is the cutest little babe ever. And I cannot wait to see what your little boy looks like. I'm so excited for you guys.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I'm like super excited to see if he looks like Quinn. With Quinn having darker hair like her dad, like Jordan, and myself having like blonder hair and lighter eyes and lighter features, I'm super excited to see what he turns out to look like.
I know.
Yeah, you never know.
So how are you feeling? Because you're due pretty soon, right?
I feel like it's surreal that he's going to be here so soon. And I feel like being now like pregnant for like the second round, like with Quinn, I was just able to like focus on all the things. And this time around, having a 1-year-old and being like 34 almost weeks pregnant, it's just like exhausting, but it's really, really good. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, made it go by fast having Quinn to chase around a little bit. But yeah, other than that, I just trying to wrap my head around having 15 months and under in just about a month and a half. So it's going to be crazy, but I'm looking forward to it.
I was going to say though, so Courtney and I saw each other. We saw each other for our friend Megan's baby shower in December. And I have to say, you make motherhood look pretty easy. I mean,
oh my God.
You have little Quinn Girl and then you're super pregnant yourself and you're still hosting showers and still working and doing all the things.
You're making me feel good. I feel like, we have been definitely lucky with Quinn. That's what even more I'm curious to see if her brother is kind of as tame. So, I mean, Olivia, you know, because you know myself and Jordan, but for those that haven't met us, I'm definitely the loud one and the super energetic and like all up in your face, super, you know, crazy, where Jordan is more like docile and tame and like, you know, on the quieter side. And that's definitely Quinn. I think she has a little bit of my attitude when she's mad. She definitely like does this grunting thing lately and like gets all up in your face. But I think she's definitely tame like her dad. So I'm curious. Everyone keeps telling us that we're not going to be as lucky the second time around. We'll see. So fingers crossed.
I mean, I feel like people are always like, oh, well, you won't be as lucky this time. And then, like, sometimes they're literally, like, the most easy baby in the world.
I know. So I don't know. I said, I don't know. We did end up lucky with Quinn. I said, she's been pretty good natured, said up until now. And even now, so she's just, I think, developing her personality. Yeah. So I'm sure you feel the same with Tallulah. Like, it's so bittersweet watching them grow up. I'm so sad that she's getting older, but I just love her little personality and the fact that she's just like this little cute human being. And I just, it's fun. This is definitely bittersweet though.
I know. They're like tiny little people. And you're like, stay my baby forever, but also keep growing because I love watching you grow.
I know. It's so bittersweet. So I'm looking forward to definitely the baby stages, especially with Megan and Trevor just having Thea. Yeah. It's like literally like just so sweet watching like a little fresh babe. But so I'm looking forward to like all those baby snuggles, because Quinn definitely doesn't like snuggling with me as much anymore, which is so sad. But yeah, I'm looking forward to having her brother hopefully want to snuggle me.
Oh my gosh, you won't have a choice.
Exactly. Just smother him.
Well, shout out to Megan and Trevor and Thea. We love you.
Yes, we definitely love you.
And you're doing a great job. New parents.
Yes.
Okay. So I thought we could kind of hop into your own personal journey to conceive and kind of just sharing what that was about. What that was like for you. Mm-hmm. Because everyone's journey is different. There's no journey that's the same. Yeah. Do you want to chat with us about that?
Perfect. Well, Jordan and I got married in April of 2016. And like I said in my intro, we had met when we were pretty young, back in 2008. So we had been together for just about 8 years by the time we got married. So we had always envisioned being parents. So with that being said, I had been on birth control since high school. So I knew we wanted to start a family sooner than later after getting married. So I went off birth control in November of, it must have been 2015, knowing that we were getting married about 5 months later, mm-hmm. just so my body could kind of hopefully, you know, get back into a rhythm, kind of a routine, and then be, you know, expecting to be prepared for starting to have a family.
Right.
So, yeah, when we got married, I actually think I made Jordan nervous when I was like, okay, let's ready to like rock and roll like on our honeymoon. Like, why waste any time? And I specifically remember like that memory and him, like, we just both assumed like, oh my gosh, we're gonna have unprotected sex and we're gonna get pregnant. And literally I thought when we came back from our honeymoon, like, I was like, do I drink? Like, do I like continue drinking? Do I tell people we're like trying to start a family? I was like, no, I was 25 at the time. Like, it felt like, you know, were people going to judge us even though we were married? You know, I mean, like all these things, right? You overthink everything because I thought it was going to happen so fast. And at the time too, we had a few friends that had been married and maybe like one other couple, married couple that maybe had kids. But other than that, we didn't have, like at the time, you know, we didn't have a lot of friends that were married or having babies and all these things. So even more so, it kind of felt like, you know, between the two of us that we were going to kind of try in private, that sort of thing. So fast forward like months after months after months, and we just weren't getting pregnant. And like I said, I thought like, you know, why we growing up, it's like, oh, if you have unprotected sex, you're going to get pregnant and you got to be careful and you got to, you know, do all these things to prevent pregnancy. So here we were having, you know, fun in being married and just not getting pregnant. So we tried for exactly a year, and it was a really tough year of just like trying and failing. I remember, you know, giving it like 6 months and just kind of, you know, doing our thing and not thinking anything about it. And a little bit of back history. I had a history of longer like cycles, like longer periods. Okay. So even more, I wanted to, you know, go off birth control before we got married. So hopefully like regulate everything. And I definitely think that contributed to us, like, it's a timing thing, right? When we're trying to get pregnant. And I think that contributed to it. So I had tried everything from checking my temperature to, you know, starting an ovulation app literally like in April of 2016, like right when we got married. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was going to tell me like, hey, right timing. And it didn't work. So that's when I went to checking my temperature. And then I eventually did like ovulation strips that you can buy right at the store. And sure enough, it was our 1 year wedding anniversary. So it was April 16th, 2017. We found out we were pregnant, and it was just like, oh my God, all the stars aligned, because maybe this is what we were waiting for. Like all of the sadness and the heartache of not getting pregnant, over the course of the last 12 months, like, we were always meant to get pregnant and find out on our one-year wedding anniversary. Aww. And I won't forget the morning of telling Jordan, like, being in surprise, and it was actually Easter that year as well. So all of our families were coming over to our house, and I remember, like, literally just found out. So I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to be drinking mimosas. So, like, literally sneaking in a mimosa glass, like, just orange juice, and not with champagne, because I didn't want anybody to ask. Because let's be serious, newlyweds, every time you get, you know, when second you're married, everyone's asking if you're getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we've been married for a year, you know, so I was like, oh, you know, everyone's always going to ask, so I can't just, you know, not drink, and then people will assume things. So everything was going really great. I said, again, had longer cycles. So I remember I had called my doctor. I had gone in for, like, I think they said I was probably around, like, 7 weeks. We had an ultrasound. Everything looked great. Mm-hmm. I believe we even heard, like, a heartbeat around that time. Oh. I felt fantastic. I felt, like, super invincible. I was like, wow, like, finally, after a year, like, this was worth the wait. Like, so great on cloud nine. And sure enough, we had our 12-week appointment, and I was closer to about 11 and a half weeks. And I distinctly remember Jordan had been with me, and we went to have our 12-week ultrasound. And, you know, again, not thinking anything of it, I remember looking at the screen and thinking, wow, like, that baby looks a lot smaller than you see on pregnancy announcements. You know, like, we've all seen, like, hey, great, fantastic pregnancy announcements, and you can see, like, the form of a head and, like, a little baby, right?
Right.
And I remember thinking, wow, like, that's not what I expected. And sure enough, the tech was kind of, like, clicking around and doing all these things. And she just looked at us, and she's like, I can't find a heartbeat. And I remember Jordan distinctly asking, like, what? Like, that was always his fear from the very beginning, was that, like, it took so long. And, you know, like, you know, we're all kind of just, like, holding our breath the whole entire time, but not really thinking anything's gonna happen, you know?
Yeah.
And she's just like, I can't find a heartbeat. And then she immediately asks and says, like, have you fallen? Have you had any bleeding? And I just remember, like, getting really hot and my heart beating really fast. And we had told family and friends, because I remember joking, because I was like, oh, like, we're gonna tell people, like, you know, we're not gonna wait, because if I had miscarried, you know, I'd want, you know, the support, right? And, right, like, there was no heaviness behind my words. It was just, like, super excited because you're pregnant and you've tried for a year, and I'm going to shout it from the rooftops that I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I remember, like, I just remember kind of, like, being a little bit of a blur. Like, the ultrasound had ended. They told us to go wait in a room, and I just broke down, and Jordan got visibly upset, too. And it was just, like, a very surreal feeling. And they immediately started into conversations of, okay, these are your options, because I had no signs of miscarriage. I had no bleeding. I had no cramping. I had not fallen. I had not, you know, any of these things. And they said at my 11 and a half / 12 week appointment that based on the growth, I probably, like, the baby stopped growing probably around, like, the 8.5-9 week mark. So it had been a few weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And they immediately went into, like, here are your options, because my body's clearly not recognized that I'm miscarrying. So how can you kind of, like, jumpstart this process, right, to essentially expel this baby? And they told me I could have a DNC, which I probably should know what it stands for, but it's essentially just a procedure where they will essentially remove the baby. They told me I could take some sort of medication, or I don't remember them offering to just kind of, like, let nature take its course. Mm-hmm. I think because it had been so many weeks without my body realizing that the baby stopped growing, so we had to kind of take action sooner than later.
Right.
And I just remember being, like, literally devastated, hysterically crying at the doctor's office, and I was like, I can't make a decision right now. Like, my whole world had come to a stop, and, like, how could I make a decision on, do I have a procedure or do I, like, take medication? And this was actually the day I found out we had miscarried, was June 7th, 2017. And the reason I remember that date distinctly is obviously because we got this news, but it was also my dad's 70th birthday. So with that being said, my sisters were in town from, you know, going to college in New York City and being in the Boston area. So everyone was in town, and we were essentially, like, you know, leading up to my dad's 70th, like, this was such a big day in our family. And now it was going to be a big day in our family for a lot of other reasons. And I just remember going home and just sitting on the couch and just feeling like my world had ended and I didn't know what to do. And God bless Jordan and Worth, you know, for so many reasons, but distinctly, he like just completely went in pilot mode and asked what I needed. And he actually had called my mom, and I didn't want him to call my mom because it was like, I don't know, like not even lunchtime. And again, I was so sad to ruin my dad's 70th birthday. Like that was my focus, is not wanting to ruin my dad's 70th birthday.
Oh, court.
Yeah. So sure enough, Jordan called my mom. I think he had called a few family members. He had actually texted, because we've talked about Megan, so Megan's going to be on this podcast, even though she's not physically here. I remember, I think he actually texted either Trevor or, I think it was Trevor first, to then tell Megan the news, if my memory seems correct. And basically, my mom ended up coming over, and we decided that I was going to have the DNC procedure. And this was on a Wednesday, and my procedure was scheduled for the following morning. Like, literally no time to think about everything. So I remember going to the hospital. My mom was there. Jordan was there. And just, like, again, feeling like I'm in a dream. Like, this is not my reality. And, like, pain and before having Quinn and all of this fertility stuff, like, childbirth was, like, my biggest fear in life and, like, all of these things. And I just remember taking a shower the morning of my procedure and just being completely broken to the point where, like, holding my stomach and realizing that, like, this is, these are the last moments I'm going to have with my baby in my belly. And just the realization, like, it sounds so gruesome and maybe a little graphic, but I just remember being so broken and thinking, like, they're going to throw my baby in the garbage. Like, I'm going to have this procedure and they are going to take this baby out of me. And this baby was my life, even though I had only known that I was pregnant for so many weeks. But they're literally, I remember, like, having a panic attack, getting out of the shower, and, like, Jordan sitting, like, on the tub, and I'm sitting, like, on the toilet, like, hyperventilating the morning of this procedure, and just being, like, they're going to throw my baby in the garbage, they're going to throw my baby in the garbage, and, like, I could not get over that feeling that everything we had hoped for, yeah, like, that we had worked so hard for a full year was now crumbling down. So going back to our best friend Megan, how much of an angel she is. Megan, for those that don't know, live in Connecticut, and Jordan and I living in New York. Megan actually came home for just a few hours on the day of my procedure just to be with me. And at something I will never, ever forget. And I told her before coming out here, I'm like, I think I'm going to get emotional.
I was just going to say, I'm emotional.
So it was just really, really hard. And being in real estate, I don't think I put it at the beginning, but I didn't want to tell anyone. Like, I didn't know anyone. So I was in real estate and I was actually having my very first, like, closing, like, in the midst of my miscarriage and being at the hospital, actually, like, sending an email. And then the following morning after my procedure, pretending like nothing happened. And I went to my final walkthrough. For those that are people that are homeowners, you know, you have a final walkthrough and then you have your closing.
Oh my God, Court. I had no idea that you did that.
And they were friends of ours. And it literally was probably like a year later that I told them, like, that's what happened. Like, they had no freaking idea. And it was just like horrible, to say the least. And then we decided, you know, we had to wait a little while for my body to heal. And we decided that we were going to try, and it was just too emotionally hard to try. So that's when I had turned to fertility treatments. And I'm going to keep going because I just went off in a wild, like, 10-minute
talk. No. I was going to say, I mean, you're not just, I mean, I don't want you to just jump from one thing to the next if you're not ready to do that. I mean, it's totally up to you. But I mean, what you're going through and what you went through and reliving that and talking about it, like I was saying to you before, it's something that people often don't want to talk about, and they don't want to share these things because they're so difficult to feel all of those emotions and bring them all back up. But I honestly, like, I commend you for being so brave and so courageous and for coming on and sharing your story, because there are so many other people who have gone through something like this and they either feel like they can't talk about it because it's too sad or it's too upsetting. Mm-hmm. And it is. And like you said, you got emotional, I got emotional, and it's not an easy thing to talk about, but it happens. As much as we don't want it to, and as much as we don't want to talk about these things, it's just, I mean, my heart breaks for you for the fact that you had to go through those things. And I just, I'm sorry, and I love you.
I love more. No, it definitely, I think I'm so, like we were talking a little bit before we jump in the podcast, you know, that was, for me personally, the hardest thing I've ever had to go through is, like, the failures of trying for a month, over month, over month, and getting negatives and negatives, and, like, wondering, like, why is this happening? Like, you know, we had been together for 8+ years. Like, why aren't we having babies and all these things? Like, why is it so difficult? And then to have them, like, the miscarriage just put me in a complete downward spiral. And I always say hindsight is 20/20. And looking back, I can tell you that I was in a full-blown, like, depression over it. I remember as we were approaching our due date, like, sitting in my office, we lived in a different house at the time, and I remember sitting in my office and playing, like, a bunch of Daniel Bradbury, like, super sad emotional songs. If anyone knows her, she's a country artist. But, like, all of these things, and just sitting in my office for 3 hours, like sobbing. And like I said, 2020 is, like, you know, hindsight, it was 2020. I did not realize at the time that I, like, needed help. And going back to, I've also talked with, you know, couples that are going through their own journeys, and it's not, you know, going as, you know, they had envisioned for themselves. And the one thing I would say is that the likelihood that you and your partner will grieve differently is, you know, there's a really big likelihood. Like, yeah. I was saying earlier, like, Jordan and I are different personalities and all these things, right? And my way of coping is, like, just letting it all out, like, being super emotional, being, like, you know, crying, whatever. Where I think in our society, like, men, right, like, they think they have to take care of us, protect us, and I think Jordan wore that hat so well, taking care of me and, like, being strong for the two of us when he was, you know, dealing with his own emotions. But with that being said, it was just, like, it was hard, because then it was just, like, sometimes we would have, you know, disagreements and being like, okay, you know, are you feeling the same emotions I'm feeling? Like, did you care? Is, like, am I caring? Yeah. Like, you know, like, and as women, we carry this guilt of, you know, like, you feel like you're failing not only yourself and your body's failing you, but then you feel like you're failing your spouse too. And, like, that's a heavy burden. And
extremely, you know, heavy.
It's, yeah. And it, I feel like now I'm open to having these conversations, where when in the midst of this happening, I, like, couldn't even look at babies. Like, if I, you know, looked at a baby, and I would just, like, get upset, right? Because it was a reminder of, like, what wasn't happening for us and what we had wanted so much, and it was just not happening. And now I'm, you know, being so open about it, and it took, like, a lot, and I always knew I wanted to be open about it because I was such in a dark, dark place during it.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, right, I mean, everyone's journey is different, like, whether it happens when you want to, or it's a huge surprise because it wasn't even something that was on your radar, or you're struggling, and, you know, even if you fall in one of those three categories, like, no two journeys are different, or the same, rather. And it's made me be more open because, A, I think, like I said to you earlier, like, for me, it's almost therapeutic. Like, it's sad to go back to those moments, but at the same time, it gives me a perspective of being grateful for what's in our life right now with Quinn and our son on the way. And yeah, I want other women to know that, you know, if their journey's not the way they envisioned it, that, you know, find someone that you can relate to, like, whether it's myself or someone that you can turn to, because it's so hard. And when we were going through it, I didn't know anyone. Like, there was no one that I knew necessarily to, like, talk to. And when we miscarried, the confusion that came with miscarriage and what I thought miscarriage was, or, you know, like, it just, it's a confusing time. And like I said, when you grieve maybe differently, even then, like, your partner and all these things, it's just, it's nice to be able to have someone. So that's why I'm so grateful for you, Olivia, for bringing me on and be able to kind of tell my story, because it's something that's been on my heart since April 2016 when we started trying. And now we have one, and one on the way. And it just, sometimes I think we all look at families and couples and things, and are like, oh God, like, how beautiful is like this little family. And, or, you know, we look at two people and sometimes, like we were talking earlier, right? People are like, oh, we're having kids. And it's just like, you don't know someone's journey, like how they got to their family or why they don't have kids. Like, is it a personal choice? Is it, you know, what's going on behind the doors type of thing. So, no, I'm super grateful for you for starting this podcast and being able to kind of share all walks of life and all perspectives and all things related with mamahood, because we're all different. And I think we can benefit from, you know, learning and hearing about other people's stories.
Yeah. And what I was going to say too, like what you were talking about, you were saying that when you saw other babies, or when you think of certain dates, it makes you sad, obviously. And that's not, and I think that's something too, is that, one thing from the people that I've talked to who have suffered, from miscarriages and losing babies, they talk about it as though people tend to ask the question, oh, is this your first? And I never had really thought of that. And that wasn't really a question I ever asked, but, since having Tallulah, I've received that question so many times. And there's kind of like this awkward pause if you've lost babies where it's like, well, no, it's not my first baby. But there, I just think that there needs to be more awareness about that. And there also, you should be able to grieve the babies that you lost. I mean, you're always going to have that in your mind as, well, what if, the whole what ifs, you know, like, what if things were different? So I just think that there needs to be more awareness and more discussion about it and kind of just being mindful of the words that we use and the things that we say, which you and I are going to talk about a little bit towards the end of the podcast, the best ways to support people and how to talk to people. But do you want to start chatting about your IVF journey?
Sure. And going to what you just said and then jumping into IUI and all that good stuff is, even when I just said, you know, when you asked like, how are you feeling and all those things, and I said like our second, and I even like stopped myself internally, because for me, this is our second baby that the world will see. However, for me, and I've said it to Jordan before too, like, this is our, my fourth pregnancy. Like, because we miscarried a second time before having Quinn. So I'll get into that part, but everything you're saying is 1,000% true, because I always feel I'm part of the confusion for me with miscarriage. And I like had to do a lot of soul searching and like really like spending time myself and listening to a lot of, you know, emo type of music to resonate with. And, it's just, I've come to realize that even before we were pregnant with Quinn, that those babies, and everyone has a different perspective, but for me, like, those babies were so real, and I believe that they made me a mom. However, Quinn made me the mom that I always envisioned to be, and Jordan, the dad that he wanted to be. However, those two babies, like, everything you just said is exactly like hit home, because like I said, there has to be some way of, you know, being open, but then I can only imagine someone's response. You're like, was this your first? And you're like, no, it's actually my third, but my first, you know, earthside baby. How do you have those conversations?
I know, it's tricky, but I also like, and some people just have no idea. Like you said, like from the outside, they see you and Jordan and Quinn, and they're like, oh, what a beautiful family. But they have no idea what you went through in order to become what you guys are right now. So, I mean, it's just, it's hard. And I think that it's difficult to be able to have those conversations because you don't want to feel like you're being morbid or anything like that. But at the same time, it's your life, it's your journey, and you, everyone's journey is different, like you said. And these babies were your babies. They are your babies, and they deserve to have that recognition, as hard as it may be for some people to hear.
Oh, it's so true. And, you know, that kind of led us to kind of where we were with Quinn and how, you know, we decided to call a fertility specialist. So, someone that I didn't know anyone really well, when we were kind of going through this journey. However, there was one person, that I had met quickly, through my sister, and she had been open a little bit through social media following about kind of her fertility journey. So when we were struggling, towards the tail end of it, I realized I started following her and got to know her, and I ended up getting together with her, and sure enough, she had gone to a fertility specialist, to CNY, which is a local fertility specialist. And I think a lot of misconceptions, including my own before it was our reality, was that when I think of a fertility specialist, I'm thinking like something really extreme, like something super wrong. And again, like, nobody wants to look at themselves and be like, oh, something's wrong here, where we had clearly had a miscarriage and had, you know, tried for a full year. But did I think like, oh God, like I felt broken, but did I think like, you know, we really needed to go to extremes going to a fertility specialist? And it got to the point where I didn't even talk to my gynecologist about it. I was just honestly fed up of us trying and this emotional spiral that I felt month after month. Because if you've been in the position before, for all your listeners and everyone else, it's just when you're trying to conceive, you're waiting for 2 weeks for it to be the right time of the month. Mm-hmm. And then you're waiting for another 2 weeks to see if you get your period. And if you get your period, then the whole roller coaster starts all over again. Then your life is built on a 2 week freaking cycle. And it got to the point where we had miscarried and found out in June. And then we decided that I just couldn't do it anymore. It was like an emotional like breaking point. And I remember the day I called the specialist, and I felt so defeated.
Okay, we are back from a quick break. Lula needed to eat. So we're going to jump back into what Courtney was saying. She was saying that they went to a fertility specialist, and then from there, they were feeling a bit defeated by what had already happened previously. Yeah. So do you want to jump back into that?
That's perfect. I think for us, or when we think about a fertility specialist, I think sometimes it's not necessarily as black and white as sometimes I think we all envision life to be, right? It's like, oh, it's, you know, the answer slapping us in the face, this is what we need to do. And for us, like, it was just a moment of I personally, emotionally, for my sanity and for my mental well-being, I just could not keep trying on our own after we tried for the month, you know, for a full year rather, and then we had miscarried. So I remember the day distinctly. I remember calling in the kitchen, like sitting at the kitchen table. Jordan wasn't home, and I think I had made the decision kind of to do it on my own. I don't even know if I necessarily told him I was going to call the specialist. I think I mentioned I didn't even talk to my doctor about it. It was just like one of those things where I knew that we needed help, and I didn't know how to necessarily go about it, but I just knew what we were doing wasn't working, and, you know, it was just, we needed to do a change. So I remember calling the fertility specialist, not really knowing what to expect, because again, like I said, I had talked with one person very like recently at that time that had their own journey, and they weren't actually able to conceive after so many years. And it was just not knowing what to expect, but just kind of taking the plunge and just saying like, we had honestly nothing to lose. Okay. So we made that appointment. Jordan and I had gone, and it was more of a conversation piece the first round. It was kind of, what's our history? How do we want to go about next steps? That sort of thing. And the great thing was that at our specialist is they gave us some options, and they were so simple as, hey, we can help you, because my history was having longer cycles, like we can help you track your cycles to help you know when the right time of the month is, to you know everything in between, all the way going up to IVF. Okay. So before they could eat, yeah, so the nice thing was at least they gave some options. And before they even kind of dived into that, they did a lot of like blood work, kind of starting the testing, right? Because we had no idea really what the issue was. Like, is it my longer cycles? Why I miscarried at almost 12 weeks? I, to this day, don't know that answer. I was told, like, I think by my normal doctor, that usually, because we know miscarriage can be so common, mm-hmm. At least at my doctor, they didn't do any testing. Whether that's the way it is at everyone's doctor, I don't know. But at my doctor, they didn't ultimately do any testing, and in hindsight, I wish I had asked, like, is that an option? But when I had 24 hours to decide what I was going to do about a DNC or how I was going to essentially miscarry. I didn't think about those things. Right. So I remember being a specialist and, you know, typical, I had never given blood before. I had never liked needles. Like, who does? But I remember I had to take, they took 14 vials of blood.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I think they took all of 2 for Jordan, right? Like, that's our world that we live in, where it's like, the women have to go through all these things. And the outcome was that there really wasn't an answer. So it was kind of like, exciting is not the right word, but it was nice to know that there wasn't anything that was like, okay, hey, like, you have this super serious issue. But at the same time, it's like, okay, well, there's no real answers either. So it's kind of like one of those unexplained type of things.
Yeah. I mean, it's unexplained infertility.
Yeah, right.
And that can be your answer. And that is super frustrating at the same time.
You're like, okay, like, that's great, unexplained infertility. So you're like, yeah, one sense, you're like, great, at least there's nothing major wrong with me. But at the same time, like, what the frig's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
So sure enough, the doctor said, okay, hey, like, let's, you know, we'll keep track of your cycles. The second you get your period, call us, and then we'll move forward. So when I had actually started going to CNY, I thought I got my period. And sure enough, that's actually when we found out that we miscarried for a second time. I thought I was bleeding due to a period. However, I had ordered all these medicines, gone through all these hoops with insurance and getting all my medicine in order, all these things so we could start. What we had decided to do was IUI, to then find out that we were miscarrying for a second time. And again, I remember where I was when I got that phone call in our kitchen. Jordan was standing across from me, and it was actually a voicemail, which sounds so horrific.
Gosh.
But it was, they were closing, and I was supposed to start medication that night. And they apologized profusely that they had to leave me a voicemail, because essentially they had told me not to start my medication for IUI. So it was time sensitive. And I remember falling to the ground, just sobbing, because I felt like now for a second time, my body had completely gone against me, or my body had done this thing that I feel like women's bodies, we're meant to be moms, we're meant to birth, we're meant to do all these things. Right. And now for a second time, it was also defeating, because Jordan and I had done it on our own. Now we struggled for a year to get pregnant. We got pregnant on our own to then miscarry. And then we decided to make a decision, and, I decided, okay, we're going to a fertility specialist. And sure enough, we found out we were pregnant in the same breath as you're having another miscarriage. And it was just like, what the heck? And again, I just felt like this is something as a woman I should be able to do without this much heartache and hardship and all of these things. So we ultimately did IUI. Now I know, even myself, before going through all of this experience, what is the difference between IUI and IVF?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's tricky, and I can tell you the simplified version. Yeah. I myself am not super educated on IVF, but with IUI, and this is how we got pregnant with Quinn, what IUI essentially is, as the female, it's a lot of doctor's appointments, and they keep a track of kind of your lining and all these things. So I went on medication. I would be at the doctor's once, maybe twice a week for ultrasounds, and they essentially would tell me, okay, you're ovulating. So I would get a shot to kind of help. It's called the trigger shot,
mm-hmm,
with ovulation. And then within 24 hours, I would go back and have this IUI procedure, if you will. Now with IUI, I joke and call it a goodie bag. And essentially just, this is for the guys, for your partner. And the goodie bag essentially is their sample. And so, because let's, have
let's
fun
be
with
real.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's be real. They get goodie bags. So, here I am, having all this blood work done and, having ultrasounds at my hoo-hee, every week, every, few times a week. And my husband gets a goodie bag that he essentially has 2 options. You can, have fun at home. If I have fun, I mean, they do their own thing at home, or they can do it on site. And they essentially bring their sample in an hour before your IUI procedure. So it's it's fresh.
Yes.
And then for IUI, essentially, is then you get to go into a room and they inject you, with your spouse's sample.
Right.
So the IUI procedure is pretty quick. It's straightforward. Now, I had two IUIs done to get Quinn. My first one wasn't successful.
Okay.
And it was freaking horrible. Like, it was so uncomfortable. It was just, like, I knew it didn't work after the first time. Like, luckily, Jordan was able to be there with me. But it was it was like going to the, you know, gynecologist and just the worst experience ever. Thank you. So I knew, like, going into the second one, I was going to be optimistic. And sure enough, our second one had worked with Quinn. And I had a feeling it was going to work because I remember just being so much more comfortable. And like literally asking the person that had done it, I was like, is it it? Like, it's over? Like, it was just so much more painless and seamless. And I don't know if it was the person that did it or the fact that it was their second time. But IUI is pretty straightforward, where IVF is not only more of a financial burden, mm-hmm. Where IUI is, you know, depending on everyone's insurance carrier, right. It's obviously, you know, so much more financially affordable, because it's essentially just medications and a quick procedure versus something that's, you know, so much more, complicated, if you will. Where IVF, from the best of my knowledge, and said I'm never have been through it, but I believe essentially they what they'll have you do is take hormones so you build up your egg supply, mm-hmm. and then everything is essentially done outside of your own body. Right. So then they'll retrieve your eggs, they have your, you know, spouse's sample, your partner sample, or whoever's, maybe donor sample, and then they kind of do everything outside of the body, and then essentially they'll have a procedure,
right,
to then kind of implement. So with us, we were fortunate enough to be able to successfully get pregnant with Quinn through IUI, where I have friends that, you know, are being told that IVF might be their best route.
Yeah.
And it's like heart-wrenching and devastating for them and for myself to just hear how expensive and unfair it is, mm-hmm. for some couples, mamas, whoever, you know, like, even, you know, like, anyone that wants to have a family that's not having success with it, numbers that are like in the $20,000 range. Yeah. And it just literally makes me so sad, because it's not fair. Like,
no.
And I think going through our journey, it's easy to feel bad for ourselves, because it's just like, why is it so hard for me? And even more, going back to what we were talking about earlier, is this is why I'm open with our journey now, because I was that person, like, this isn't fair, or why is this happening to this person or that person? Or you see, you know, all these beautiful, amazing, like, birth announcements, thanks to social media, right? And it's just like, internally, like, the best way to describe it is that you are genuinely so happy for that other person, especially if it's someone's close to you.
Right.
And at the same time, while you're so happy for them, you're also so incredibly sad for yourself, because it's a reminder of, like, why am I not having those things?
Mm-hmm.
So even more, I'm trying to be open on our end with our journey, because although it's not everyone's, you know, journey, and even if it's something that's taking longer on their end, my journey will be different than theirs. But even more, I don't want anyone, because we've struggled, I want people to know that Quinn was, you know, was essentially conceived with the help of someone else. You know what I mean? Like, that not all journeys, no two journeys are the same. And no matter how you get your family, is okay. And it's just sometimes a matter of just being able to work through it.
Yeah.
So we were successful with IUI, and, you know, it wasn't always easy, but I'm grateful for the technology and all of the resources that, you know, there are available today.
Yeah. What I was going to say too, though, like what you're talking about in terms of the cost of being, if you can't naturally conceive, and then you have to, you go through a process of like accepting that. And I don't personally know about this. It's not my personal experience, but I have had plenty of mama friends and people that I've spoken to, who have told me they have to go through, okay, I can't get pregnant on my own. And then you have to figure out why. And then sometimes you get the news that, okay, now you need help to do that. And it could either be right. IUI or it can be IVF. And then you have to look at insurance. And then mm-hmm. that is something that I can do literally a whole nother podcast on is because that whole system is just so messed up in terms of what is actually covered versus what is not covered. Mm-hmm. But like you were saying, it's a journey and it's a process and it's not easy to have to be like, okay, well, I feel like my body's failing me and I can't do this on my own. But it's so important to talk about your journey. And I've already said it once, but I'll say it again. Like, I commend you so much for being open about it and for talking about it and for sharing your own personal journey. Because like you said, there are people who are going through this who don't feel comfortable talking about it. Mm-hmm. And that's okay because everyone's right. journey is different and everybody copes differently. And everyone's comfortable or uncomfortable with certain things. Mm-hmm. But do you think that, I mean, with what you've gone through yourself, there are certain things that, that you could share with us that are helpful for people to do and or say if they know if you decide to share with them that you're going through something like a miscarriage or your journey to conceive or you're trying to conceive, are there certain things that you felt were helpful for you or that would be helpful for somebody else? Because I'm in the birth space, I try and be very mindful of the words that I use and what I say to people. But there are a lot of people who have no idea and they just, it's just not even on their radar that they should be kind of just slowing down and really thinking about what they're saying or what they're asking. Mm-hmm.
It's really, like I said, I think you have such a good perspective of being kind of in the birth space, even like, you know, having the opportunity to talk to so many mamas. And I think at the end of the day, I think everyone tries to come from contribution. I don't think anyone's intent, right, is to go in and say something that's hurtful. However, we all know that sometimes we interpret things differently as how someone may have expressed certain things. So, you know, I always like would joke that I sometimes maybe would be like super sensitive to certain things. Like maybe I would, you know, internalize things a lot differently or harsher. And yes, I know sometimes people always come from the best space and from the best place. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like for me personally, when I was going through things, sometimes just like a check-in, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I was thinking of you type of message, right? Like the person that's on the receiving end, that's going through either like the hard journey of trying to conceive and it's not working, or maybe they're going through their own fertility, you know, IUI, IVF journey type of thing. They'll know what you're essentially saying when someone just says, hey, I'm just checking in on you. Like, how are you doing? Like mm-hmm. without having to be like so direct, you know? Okay. And then also I think sometimes too, like asking them, like, you know, recognizing, hey, I don't have any idea how you're feeling. I can only imagine what you're going through right now. Like, do you want to talk about it? Cause I'm here if you want to talk about it. If you don't want to talk about it, that's okay too. Like, let's go get ice cream. Like, let's go watch a movie. You know what I mean?
Let's do something else.
Yes. And I think that is also something that I myself need to remind myself of, mm-hmm. Because being open, I've had the opportunity to then connect with so many, you know, women and couples that have had their own struggles and journeys, and, you know, whether it's miscarriage or just not having success in getting pregnant. And I realized that we are all different in the sense of how do we grieve, right? And mm-hmm. how do we want to be treated during that grieving process? I can tell you that in my own personal life, I have like some family that, God bless their souls, but they grieve and need like help in grieving, I guess, in mm-hmm. a certain way that is not how I need someone, right? Like I'm more of a private person. Like when I'm going through something really hard, I probably won't be the first person to like, you know, throw my heart out. It probably will take me a little while to like digest it, absorb it, like be on this podcast almost 4 years later, you know what I mean, of like when our journey came about, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like I said, it's just maybe doing something simple, like a card, sending flowers, a text, like I said, just saying like, hey, how are you doing? And recognizing that although like we might need someone to be like all up in our face distracting us during a grieving process. I mean, we're the complete opposite and literally don't want anyone like around us. Like,
right.
How does that person need to, you know, be like handled isn't the right word, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
How does that person like need to be coped with? Like, what did they want? What did they need?
Yeah. So just thinking about
them.
Thinking about them and the fact that everyone's different. And I mean, again, I feel like it just comes back to being mindful about it.
Yes.
And even if you aren't as much in the space or know people who've gone through this, but just like you said, just checking in. And I think like one of the other things that you said that's really important is, for me at least, like I have not personally gone through what you have gone through. I know people who have gone through a variety of things in terms of trying to conceive and become pregnant. And I feel like as much as like I wish there were things that I could say or things that I could do, there's only so much you can say, you know?
Right.
And you don't want to not say anything, but
right.
You also just want to be like, hey, I'm thinking of you. Like, I love you. I'm here if you do want to talk. If
right.
you don't want to talk, totally fine. But I think also too, just not trying to not be offended by that, because
right.
I feel like some people, they take offense to how people cope or how people grieve. Like you were
yep.
saying, some people literally don't want to talk to anybody. Some people don't want anybody around them and they
mm-hmm.
just need time and they need time to process it. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But our society is so just like, okay, why aren't you talking to me? If you're not sharing,
right.
like something's wrong, you're mad at me, blah, blah, blah. But that person could literally just need time to deal with one of the most difficult things that they've ever dealt with in their life. And you're not going to understand that. So I just think there needs to be more kind of grace too
mm-hmm.
in terms of how not taking things personally and also just being mindful of the fact that you have no idea what they're going through or what it's like. So I think just simple kindness or simple checking in.
Okay.
It doesn't even have
making
to.
I think like making it about the person like that's going through the experience rather than like you're saying, right? Like
yeah.
rather than taking it personally and making it about ourselves, like, why aren't they wanting me all up in their face and all up in their space and doing this and doing that? Like, I want to do this for them. Or I don't do that for them. But in reality, like, is that what that person needs?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think like removing yourself and like, sometimes I think it might be like, what do you need? Like we're talking about right now, like, do you want to talk about it? Do you want to just go out and like stay busy? Like, you know, do you want to just sit at home and like feel all the feels? Like let
yeah.
that person kind of, you know, deal with it how they want to deal with it, because it's the end of the day. We all need maybe something different, you know what I mean? And
right.
it's just, I think, being conscious of it. And then just by checking in every once in a while, like, you're reassuring that person that I am still thinking about you, you know what I mean? You're still on my mind, or I'm, you know, all these things, right? And it's going to make them feel good.
Yeah.
They're going to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Or you're referring to. And I think, like, that's probably the best way. I think some
okay.
of the hardest things when we are going through miscarriage of what not to say, and I'm sure you've heard
okay.
these from being like the birthing world,
yeah,
is like people will ask, because it's a curiosity question, right? Like, how far along were you, right? Because everybody
oh.
wants, you know, like,
oh my god,
however,
I wouldn't even think of that.
Oh, okay, well then good, this is a good one. People will ask like, how far along were you, like, because I think it's a curiosity question. However, like, if I were to say for my first miscarriage, like at a 12-week appointment, like, you know, something along those lines, right? Like, people are like, oh, well, at least you were only, like, this far along. Or, like, you were only so many weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think their mentality is thinking, like, you know, in anything in life, like, okay, the sooner something ends, the better it is, whether it's relationship. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
the longer something is, the harder it becomes. But at the same time, like we were talking about earlier, those babies, whether like you miscarried at 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 10 weeks, 20 weeks, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
like those babies, like all babies start the same. And that it goes back to like how for me miscarriage was very confusing, dealing with it kind of on our own. And it was just like, I thought miscarriage was like, okay, great, like, yep, you get pregnant and, you know, the baby doesn't, you know, for whatever reason, like miscarriage is common, all these things, right? Like, no big deal is what my perception was before it was my reality. And then when people would ask things like, say, like, how far along with you, or even our second, like I had mentioned, I found out I was pregnant and miscarried within one breath. Oh my God. From an outsider who's, you know, not necessarily close to it, like, I might think, like, oh, well, you know, no big deal. Or, like, okay, like, you know, how emotionally attached could you have been type of thing. But for me, like I said, it was the second time. Yeah. Or when we were able to get pregnant with Quinn, it was even more of a reminder that, again, all babies start out the same. Like, all mamas are 4 weeks pregnant. All mamas are 5 weeks pregnant. Mm-hmm. All mamas are 6 weeks pregnant. And those babies flourish and thrive and grow and become healthy into full-term babies who then turn 1 year old and grow up into teenagers and mm-hmm. all of these things. And just because someone was X amount of weeks pregnant when they miscarried does not take away all of the heartache, the pain, the emotional, you know, distress that comes along with miscarrying, no matter how many weeks you were. Because, and that's probably the biggest thing, is like probably not asking how long, even if you're curious, like,
just don't asking,
or yeah, like, or if someone says, like, I miscarried X amount of weeks, like, like, do not say, at least you were this far along. Like, I know you're trying to be positive, but that's no, because for that person that miscarried, that literally fought for however long to bring that baby into the world, that is their whole life that literally just shattered. The other thing was, again, trying to be positive. People are like, oh, you're young, like, all this or whatever, or oh, it's common, and call this extreme, but cancer's common. Like, call, you know, like, there's so many things in the world. Car accidents come and people die. That's, death is a reality, right? But at the same time, like, when something that you've literally fought so hard for is now gone, it's just, that doesn't make things better. So I think, Olivia, like, you, like, simple thing, like, I'm so sorry, or like, we're talking about, right? Like, acknowledging, like, I don't know what you're going through. And I think the receiver of whoever's going through that journey is going to appreciate, like, hey, we all go through things, our own unique things in life that are really hard and really shitty and really sucky.
Yeah.
And I think it's acknowledging that I'm not trying to solve your problems, or I'm not trying to, you know, whatever I say is going to make you feel like amazingly better. Like, acknowledging that I don't know what you're going through. I can imagine how hard this is for you, and just know that I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
Literally can be the response for anything in life. Yeah. And that's acceptable without offending anyone or saying the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, those are probably the two biggest things.
Okay.
Would be my biggest advice.
No, and I'm glad that you brought those two things up. And I feel like I just wanted to touch on one of the things that you said a few minutes ago. It's just acknowledging the fact that as soon as a baby is conceived, it's still a baby.
Right.
And as soon as you know you're pregnant, you start imagining what your life is going to be like, and you start imagining, you start planning everything. So to have somebody be like, oh, well, you were only X amount of weeks along, it's like, okay, but I was still pregnant. That baby still made me a mom, just because they're not here. That's the other thing too, is that I feel like people, if they can't physically see a baby on the outside, some people don't consider women who have gone through miscarriages to be moms. And that drives me crazy, because they are moms. And it's important to acknowledge that, because that baby, as soon as, like I was saying, as soon as it was conceived, made you a mom. And that's something that I have heard from a couple of different women that I've spoke to. And so I just think the fact that you mentioned that and brought that to the table is very important. And I'm glad that you said it, because it's coming from you, and you have personally gone through it, whereas I haven't. And so I'm just glad that you shared that, because I know that there are other women who have experienced the same thing. And I just think that more people need to be mindful of it, really, at the end of the day. But thank you for sharing the things that you found that would be helpful. Thank you for sharing your journey, and for being just so open and raw and honest, and for getting emotional with me.
Yes, I love you.
For just, like, for everything. Seriously, I just so appreciate you coming on and sharing everything with us, because, like I was saying to you earlier, I just feel like there are so many people who don't talk about these things. And maybe they're not ready to, and that's okay. But even hearing another person's journey or story, and feeling the emotions that I'm sure other people will feel listening to this podcast, sometimes it makes people feel more comfortable and want mm-hmm. and more courageous and brave and want to share their stories. And if they do, then by all means, that's wonderful. But if not, then that's totally fine too. It's not that everyone has to share the traumatic things that they've gone through. I just know that there are people who will benefit from hearing your story. So thank you so much yes. for coming on. And are you comfortable with people reaching out to you to chat about these yes. things? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I so appreciate you having me on. Like I said, I'm so excited to hear all your podcast episodes and different perspectives and different things about mamas and all that good stuff. And no, I am totally open. For me, I think, like we touched on earlier, I mean, it was such a hard place in my life when I was going through it. And now, although it's, you know, a sad topic, I genuinely enjoy talking about it. For those who don't know, when Olivia and I were in a quick break, I texted her and I said, this feels so good to talk about, because mm-hmm. For me, it's opened up doors, being opened to, you know, have other people feel comfortable to reach out to me and say, hey, I'm going through my own journey. Like, just having someone to just talk to, even yeah. if your two journeys aren't alike, just knowing that you're not alone and kind of leaning on each other. So, of course, if anybody wants to reach out, I am here. For sure, I would love to be able to talk and okay. see how I can help anyone.
And also, thank you for that, because I know a lot of the time people feel like they don't know who to talk to, or they're yeah. nervous to reach out to somebody. And also sometimes, too, I feel like people are more comfortable reaching out to and talking to somebody who they aren't as close with.
Right.
Because I feel like any sort of, not judgments, but just anything yep. or people start to feel bad, and then they change how they would normally talk to you, sort of thing.
Right.
So I will include any and all information that you want me yes. to share in the show notes with everybody.
Oh my gosh, of course.
As well as where they can find you if they want to chat. But I just want to say thank you, and I love you, and I'm so excited to meet your little boy.
Oh, I know. I can't believe it. Yeah, he'll be here in a month and a half is his expected due date. So stay tuned, podcast listeners.
Stay tuned.
I truly appreciate you having me on. So yes, any way I can help you or the listeners, super excited for your own journey in this podcast world to kick butt. So yeah, thank you again for having me on and kind of being able to share my journey, my experience, because it's something that I enjoy talking about. And thanks for also letting me talk for 20 minutes in a row, because these are things that I've always had that kind of on my heart and on my mind, all these things. So you've yeah. given me a beautiful outlet to kind of share that and see if I can, you know, help someone else feel better or make it through their own journey. So thank you.
I love you. Thank you so much.
I love you more.
And then maybe once you have your little boy, we could do another podcast on yes. having two and motherhood.
Oh my God. It's going to be a great journey.
So many things. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Let us know if you have any questions, or if there are certain things that you'd like to chat about on the podcast that we haven't covered just yet. And we will be back next week. So bye.
Bye, guys.